Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back on the Paracast, introducing to our audience Mindy Tautfest, who tells us over the years she has listened, she and her husband, to the Paracast, which makes us so willing to have her on the show. But now that she's on the show, she'll learn the truth about that. I sent Tim a link to a book, and this book has been posted freely by Isaac Coy, a British lawyer and UFO investigator, and he's been collecting articles, newspapers, magazines, and books that could be released publicly. The book is from 2000. It's called The UFOs That Never Were. It's written by Jenny Randles, Andy Roberts, and David Clark. I met Jenny Randles a couple of times and did a couple of interviews with her like 30 years ago. It's an interesting book because what they do is they go into some key UFO cases and tell us why there are conventional explanations. Okay? So I wanted to go to page 30. And Tim has it up, and I wanted to read a couple of things here. This is about Roswell. And from my introduction, you see that they conclude it was probably a conventional explanation to Roswell. So the section, page 31 actually, is it solved? And then there are two telltale paragraphs. A highly secret project, codenamed Mogul, operated locally. This is Roswell, New Mexico. This involves specially adapted balloons sent high into the atmosphere to search for evidence that the USSR had exploded an atom bomb. The project was strictly need to know. Most people at Roswell had no need to know. Now let me paraphrase something else. We've had Kevin Randall, one of the major Roswell researchers on the Paracast over the years, and his point is, since the Air Force has taken the Mogul explanation, that it couldn't have happened at the time of the Roswell event because he could not find any scheduled flight at that time. Okay, now, here's a problem from this book, page 31 again. The scientist who masterminded Mogul talked openly only in 1995. He has studied the Roswell case against his balloon launches and claims they lost a test device in this area around the right time. The balloons did use very similar equipment to that found at Roswell, including tape and the same colors and flower image patterns reported by Mac Brazel. Okay? Now, I get the impression here that as far as the authors of this book are concerned, Randles, Roberts, and Clark, that's the solution. It was Mogul after all. And even if Kevin Randall couldn't find a record of the flight, doesn't mean that there wasn't some kind of paperwork issue. Remember, we're talking about 30, 40, 50 years later. Tim, what's your reaction?
Oh, well, I mean, saying the Mogul balloon was what actually came down over Roswell, as you said, that's been batting around for quite some time. I'd like to know, I wish they had included the scientist's name who masterminded the Mogul. I'll have to look into this and see if I can find it. And, I mean, you know, it's been so long since Roswell happened, and so much dirt and stuff have been kicked into this arena that it's almost impossible to tell just exactly what went on. I find where he said the this mastermind that they included tape with the same colors and flower image patterns as reported by Brazel. I'd like to see that. I wish somebody would be able to come up with what kind of tape that they actually used that looked like that. And then, you know, their explanation for the foil-like material that was extremely tough and had memory, you know, memory metal. But other than that, I mean, it's just that, once again, it's just like, you know, one word against another, and who can tell anymore? I mean, you know, if you're completely convinced that Roswell didn't happen, then this is a good explanation. And then for those who are convinced that something, you know, really bizarre happened at Roswell, then it's just another explanation, unusable explanation for them.
Of course, the big problem with Roswell is that the first reports after the event didn't occur until the late 70s, over 30 years later. So we have 30 years of experiences, UFO reports, UFO claims, and now we're asking people to recall something. And we've gotten lots and lots of stories. Kevin Randall says that he's nailed down enough consistency to say something strange did crash there. But again, it starts 30 years later. Mindy Talkfest, welcome to the Paracast. Have you any quick observations to make on the Roswell case?
Well, first, let me say thank you for having me, Gene and Tim. I appreciate you having me here today. Yeah, I have lots to say on that. I think it's kind of incredible that we're still looking at Mogul as an explanation. I mean, that there's so many things that Mogul does not explain as far as, you know, what about the child-sized coffins? Why were they going out and, you know, scaring the wits out of these ranchers where they stayed quiet for 30 years? They're not going to be quiet over a balloon. You know, I think it's incredible that we're still looking at that and still even considering that. There's too many people that saw the bodies. I'd like to hear what Grush has to say on it. I mean, he just spoke of the one from the 1930s that was a crash retrieval. I'm sure he's heard plenty of stories on what exactly happened at Roswell. And I think we're getting close to the time when we're really going to get some real answers and the truth is going to be coming out.
As far as the 33 crash, Kevin says his investigations show that didn't happen. Okay, so he reports that skeptically. It's on his blog, A Different Perspective, Mindy, if you want to check it out. Now, that's the issue here. Randall is a crack investigator. He's not going to make things up. He did do a book called Roswell in the 21st Century, which came out, what, 8-9 years ago. And it kind of backtracks on some of the purported evidence, such as things about possible alien bodies, which he claims were more difficult to nail down and get a consistent version. The problem with this, as Tim and Mindy will both agree, I'm sure, it happened so many years ago that a lot of details are messy, screwed up, and for whatever reason, we may never know the answer. I throw this one out, and I don't take it seriously. And that is, if we have an advanced civilization sending craft here, they fly around, and one of them crashes, would they allow the primitive warlike earthlings to recover that wreckage, or would they do something about it? And the secret of Roswell may be that they did do something about it, but that's a secret kept at the highest levels, and we can't say we lost the wreckage. Does that sound crazy enough, Mindy?
Well, I mean, you bring up a good point that it's been so many years. A lot of the people that were firsthand witnesses have now passed away. We're now looking to their children who may have seen things at the time to gather as much information on it as possible. But I'm with you on this. We may never know one way or the other, but hopefully soon some of these files will be released to the public and we can get a much better idea of exactly what our government knew at the time.
You, my friend, are more of an optimist than I am. Let me tell you that. We'll be talking to Mindy, who is very, very active in MUFON, had a near-death experience at the time she was treated for a brain aneurysm. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to talk about with her, and not all UFOs. So with Mindy Tautfest, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Mindy Tautfest is our guest today, and she's active with MUFON. And we mentioned David Grush, of course, the so-called whistleblower. Now, I discussed this last week with Tim. Maybe you haven't heard. It shouldn't reflect on his honesty. but a publication called Intercept came out with a report that some years back, after fighting for his country in Afghanistan, Grush suffered from PTSD and had to undergo treatment. Now, PTSD is what we call, what we used to call shell shock, where someone is involved in a war, in combat, and they suffer some negative behavior as a result. That doesn't mean because someone suffers from PTSD that they're no longer credible. We shouldn't think about that, because that would mean if you suffer from any side effects of fighting in war, you're useless.
Right. And I speak about that in my book. I suffered from PTSD as a result of what I went through with my medical trauma. And I feel like I'm even more useful now than I was before, you know, doing the things that I'm doing now. I think that's kind of a low blow to take a hit at someone's mental health, and especially someone that has served. That's not to say that I completely believe everything that Grush says. I don't know him, you know. So I can't speak to his honesty, but I know that he went through several levels to be able to release the information that he did. I'm grateful that he did step forward. One of the things that MUFON did was they were instrumental in putting in the whistleblower protections within the last NDAA. With that, we are finally seeing people come forward and putting the reputation on the line to speak to these things. I commend Grush for coming forward. You know, he's kind of a controversial figure. Some people believe him, some people don't. I think that it's funny that the people that used to say UFOs are real, you know, now they're kind of backtracking and going, well, maybe they aren't, because now the government is saying that they're real. You know, it's kind of interesting to see the way that things are unfolding now with all of this.
Now, the point to mention, too, is that after he suffered all this, the Pentagon did employ him for a job. So
Right. Obviously
they took the PTSD into consideration, and they still gave him a job. The inspector general accepted the classification of him as a whistleblower. It doesn't mean everything he says is authentic. He may be just repeating what other people told him, and unfortunately, he'd have to go into a private classified meeting with Congress to discuss those things. But also bear in mind here that when he testified before the last hearing on UAPs, he was under oath. If he lied, and that means that mistaken, no. If he lied, he is subject to indictment for a felony.
Yeah, okay? And now, behind the scenes, he was supposedly going to be naming names and naming departments that have been involved in all of this cover-up along the way. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that, those closed-door meetings where he's able to share that kind of information. I'm hopeful. I really am. I think that Congress is doing the right steps, and they are working towards getting this information out to the public, and I think they're doing a good job.
Now, the problem which we mentioned earlier, a contradiction, which is that we used to blame the government for lying about UFOs. If they told us the truth now, what we consider the truth, would we believe them? We have a pretty crazy country now. We're being told, don't believe the government. That's one faction. Another one, accept the government with its limitations, that it tries to give you the truth. We have one faction that says the guy who's president is not president. I was suggesting the other day, and Mindy, I'd like your reaction to this. If President Biden tomorrow said, we wanted to make a statement about UAPs, it appears they have an off-world origin, meaning they come from outer space. And he can go on saying, well, we don't see a threat to national security, whatever. We're talking about a mid-level announcement by the president confirming UFO reality. If he did that, as I said, it would be accepted by some, rejected by others, especially if they feel he occupies the office illegally. And I don't want to get into that controversy. It's going to be pretty screwy out there. If E.T. came on stage or in the Oval Office, they think he's some character who's been created with CGI or in a costume. They wouldn't believe it. And within a week or two, the story would leave the papers. What we would consider the most momentous revelation in human history. We're not alone. There are alien beings out there. They are among us now. That's what would happen. It wouldn't be a major development. Do you disagree with me?
No, it wouldn't. I absolutely agree with you here, Gene. In fact, I was speaking on a podcast last year about this very topic, and with people in the baby boomer generation, it was such a big deal. You know, they figured it would topple religions and, you know, people would freak out. But we had seen that back in the 30s with War of the Worlds and the way that unfolded with, you know, the hysterics. And so as time has gone along, I'm in Gen X, and Gen Xers, we were raised with, well, there might be something out there. And then millennials came along and, well, there's probably something out there. And now I look at my kids, they're Gen Z, and they don't care. I mean, it's a joke to them. It does not affect their everyday life. And I think that especially here in America, people are struggling, finances are down, you know, wages aren't up enough to keep up with inflation. People are trying to pay their bills. They don't care. You know, if something's been here all this time, it makes no effect on the everyday lives of average Americans. And I don't know if maybe that was by design, but that's kind of where we're at today in America.
Well, I'll give you one observation, semi-political, but I don't want to pursue it further. I am a baby boomer. A late baby boomer, whatever. And I remember back in the 1950s, my dad worked a middle-class job for the New York City transit system. He supported a family of four. He was able to get a car, although he never ended up buying one until many years later. He could pay for the two-bedroom apartment or get a small house. He'd pay all his bills. Today, and we're not going to blame any particular person because it's a gradual process that has happened over 60 years. Today, he'd have to work three jobs if he were here to make the same equivalent wage with the same buying power. I don't want to go any further. That's just too depressing to think of. It really is. Okay, let's get back to flying saucers. A lot more fun because maybe E.T. is out there. Maybe he's amongst us or she or it. Whatever they are, it's a crazy mystery, and all this apparent seriousness from the government, well, even that could be a way to throw us off the track, perhaps, divert interest in UFOs to something. A lot of strange things are going on with that investigation. I'll bring up another one in a while, Mindy. Now I want to get into your near-death experience and all that. We have more to come with Gene. Mindy, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Three people are dead after a shooting at a Dollar General store in Jacksonville, Florida, Saturday afternoon. The sheriff says the white shooter left behind a manifesto showing a racial motivation. Boston's mayor is condemning a shooting that injured seven people during a parade Saturday morning. Police say two people are under arrest. Bob Barker is being remembered as the most popular game show host of all time. He passed away Saturday at his home in Los Angeles at the age of 99. The 60th anniversary march on Washington is drawing thousands to the nation's capital. Civil rights groups are marking Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s historic 1963 march with a rally at the Lincoln Memorial. Forecasters say Franklin has strengthened into a Category 1 hurricane in the Atlantic. It's expected to begin impacting Bermuda by Sunday night. Gary Barmash, USA News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, back to the UAP investigation. Now, embedded in one of the versions of the funding bill, and it may be in the later ones too, was in researching UAP encounters, human effects should be considered. Of course, we call that the hitchhiker effect, where you see a UFO and you go home and all things break loose. Yeah, poltergeists and things like that. And that comes from the work also of Robert Bigelow and his crew at Skinwalker Ranch. In fact, we had one of Bigelow's people here, Colm Kelleher, a biologist. And Dr. Kelleher said that this was a very important thing about the UFO enigma that needs to be explored. But if, of course, you look at what the Pentagon is saying, they never mention the two words human effects, even though it's there.
Absolutely. And I think that this is something that they're absolutely right on. We need to be looking into these other effects that go along with UAP encounters. And that's one of the things I get into in my book, is these connections with near-death experiencers and UFO experiencers. And as a near-death experiencer, I encountered similar after effects with spirit encounters, shadows, disembodied voices, orbs of light, all kinds of strange things started breaking loose after my encounter, much like UFO experiencers. And so we're seeing several different people now are starting to research into the connections and underlying commonalities between these different kinds of phenomena and what is causing these things to happen after such a contact event.
When we bring up near-death experiences, just want to mention something. Some people in the field, and one of them is a guy named Miguel, who goes by the name Red Pill Junkie, as a writer online. Really, really smart guy, and he's been on the show. He wrote a guest newsletter for the Paracast newsletter comparing the near-death experience to a UFO abduction, finding many, many commonalities. Having had an NDE, what do you think?
Well, that's everything my book is about, actually. After I had had a near-death experience and then subsequently joined MUFON, I started talking to these abductees and started seeing, wow, they sound a lot like me. They've had similar upbringing, similar things in their past that they encountered, and even the after effects after they have had these encounters. And I started wondering, why am I seeing these commonalities? If they're, you know, is this something I'm just happening to pick up on? You know, kind of that, what is it, Bader Meinhof, where you see one thing and then you see it everywhere. I wanted to know if that's what I was seeing, and I started digging. And as I was, I was reading through Communion at the time by Whitley Strieber, and I got to one part where he had been out walking and he was wrestling with himself, and he came home and he talked about how these entities, how it was almost like this force that surrounded him, and it was something that had known him personally. Then he goes into contemplating, you know, is this just a stage and we're actors on this? And just the way that he worded that struck me, because it sounded exactly like myself after the near-death experience. So after that, I started really digging into the phenomena to see what the commonalities were and see if anybody else had seen this. And lo and behold, I found Dr. Kenneth Ring and the Omega Project. And I bought that book so fast and dug through that. Since then, Dr. Ring has become a friend of mine, because I had to contact him in writing the book. And he's just an incredible, incredible gift to humanity with everything that he has done in figuring out the similarities between these two. At the time, he was a professor back at the University of Connecticut. And this was back in the early 90s that he did a battery comparing near-death experiencers and UFO experiencers. Prior to this, he had just been looking into near-death experiencers, but a friend of his had given him a copy of Whitley Strieber's Communion, and he read through it, and he saw the same things that I was seeing and that his friend was seeing. And so it was kind of strange that that one book was kind of the catalyst for all of us looking into, wow, this sounds like near-death experiences. So Ken Ring ended up coming up with two different things. He determined that there was an encounter-prone personality. So there were people that are just more apt to have these kind of experiences naturally, and it may have been developed during childhood due to some kind of childhood trauma and learning how to dissociate. And so he actually went in and differentiated between people that were fantasy prone. So experiencers weren't the people that were out, you know, fighting dragons and stuff in their childhood. They were literally sending their mind to other places and making contact with entities from other realms. And then he also determined that there was new Omega prototype, is what he called it, and the set of after effects, and the way that these kind of encounters influence people in their life afterwards. And we see all kinds of wonderful changes in people, even if they start off as a fear-based kind of response, because it's a scary thing to die, or it's a scary thing to be abducted. But out of that comes a great amount of change where we transform into helping humanity.
There was a movie some years ago. Kiefer Sutherland and Julia Roberts were in it. And what they did is they played university students who were testing near-death experiences by using electric power to stop their heart for a few minutes and see what they bring back. Remember that movie?
Yes, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. What was that? Flatliners. Yep, that was it.
Flatliners, exactly. Okay, yeah, that's what they did. Now, before I ask you this, and we discuss other issues, before you had your brain aneurysm, which is where all this began for you, you've gone through your life, you're married, you have two kids. Had you had any interest at all in UFOs or anything paranormal?
Oh, yes. I have been not a UFO experiencer. I've been more of a spirit experiencer from a very young age, where I had encounters with, you know, my grandfather came to me the night that he died before anyone else knew that he had passed. He was standing at the foot of my bed. And then it just continued. I had encounters with the Hat Man and just all kinds of strange things throughout my childhood. But the one thing I never encountered was a UFO. And, of course, that was my main interest. So as a child, I would take my little bike with my basket on the front, and me and my sister would ride down to the bookmobile down from Grandma's house, and she would be checking out stuff on cats and stuff. And here I am, 6, 7 years old, and I couldn't get enough in my basket full of UFOs. So I have always had a huge interest in it, and I've always wanted to do research into UFOs, but I never knew how to get started until MUFON came along, and then it was just a dream come true for me. I was like, wow, they're really letting me do this. So I jumped in with both feet, and I mean, it's been incredible ever since. But yeah, I've always had that interest there. And I've had UFO type encounters or related encounters after my NDE where I've seen flash bulbs. There was a encounter where a sandhill crane disappeared over me and a group of other experiencers while out on a sky watch. And that was quite spectacular. But as far as, you know, anything beyond that, I haven't really encountered much.
I want to go into your brain aneurysm, which may be obviously a very unpleasant thing to have to undergo treatment for that. The closest I came was my right leg. Last year I underwent surgery to repair an aneurysm in my right leg just above the thigh. And I'm still here, so I guess the thing worked. Or maybe I'm not here. Who knows who's talking on the mic right now? Gene, Mindy, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. and Extendivite as all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So I look into your background here, and for a number of years you were an ICU nurse, and then you suffer from a condition that was pretty difficult to deal with. Had you had symptoms before you were told you had this aneurysm? What happened? What's the episode?
Yeah, so I'll back way up into childhood. So when I was first born, my mom had noticed that my ribs were kind of misshapen, and I actually had an extra rib on one side, and I had scoliosis, so I was kind of messed up as a little kid. I mean, it wasn't really, people looking at me couldn't tell, but, you know, there was something not quite right there, and it was, you know, back in the late 70s, so they're looking at it and saying, you know, well, we'll just keep an eye on it, you know, she'll be fine. So throughout childhood, I had a lot of severe pain, and it was, you know, the mentality of suck it up, everyone hurts, well, at least you're not in your 70s, and, you know, I'd hear all kinds of stuff whenever I'd complain. But come to find out, I had been having multiple dislocations. So I ended up in my mid-20s finding out that I had Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a connective tissue disorder, which causes dislocations, and it causes widespread body pain, and it causes these kind of deformations that I had. And it also, on the severe side, can cause aneurysms. Whenever I was a child, I grew up in a single-parent household with my mother, and so I didn't ever have contact with my father until after my children were born. So I didn't really know his family's medical history. But after I met my father, I came to find out that everyone on his side has died of some kind of aneurysm. And that's whenever they really started taking a close look at me, and they said, well, we still don't think that you have one of the fatal forms of this. We think it's, you know, where you're just going to continue to have body pain. And so they still monitored me pretty closely, but I always knew that there was a chance that aneurysms could happen. And it finally did. At the time, it was November 8th of 2016, so it was the day of the Hillary versus Trump election. And I woke up that day, and my face was a little swollen. And so I took a picture and sent it to my husband, and I said, hey, you know, my face is swollen. I'm going to take a Benadryl and go hop in the shower and see if it'll take care of it, because I wasn't in any kind of pain or anything. I waited an hour or two, and I didn't see any change. So I came out, and I sat on the couch, and I was checking to see if there were any early exit polls. I opened up the front door, because at the time, my husband, he was still preaching at the time. He was a Southern Baptist minister, and he was also a teacher there at the local school. And our kids were 5 and 7, so he drove the school bus. So the kids would ride on the bus with him, you know, to go pick up the other kids and go to school, and then they'd come back. So I was waiting for them to come home. And as I was sitting there, all of a sudden I heard a loud pop in my head. It sounded like a gunshot that went off. And at the time, I thought, oh, no, I've been shot, because we lived in this little flimsy trailer out on a 300-acre wheat farm up in northern Oklahoma. I mean, we were in the middle of nowhere. And the weeks before, I had seen coyote hunters, and they were out, you know, doing their thing. So I thought maybe one of them had returned and they had shot, and it had come through that wall and hit me. I couldn't move. I just kind of sat there stunned, and I tried to focus my intent back there to see if I could feel blood running down or anything. And when I didn't, I said, oh, crap, this has got to be a brain aneurysm. When that realization hit me, there was like an electric avalanche that peeled away. It felt like layers of myself were being peeled away from the very top of my head down to my feet. And it was incredibly painful, just that electrical feeling that went through me. And instantly I realized, I'm not going to survive this. This is really catastrophic, and I'm here in the middle of nowhere by myself. And I'm looking at the front door, and it just broke my heart, because I knew my kids were going to be coming in through that door any minute. And I instantly started praying. I said, God, don't let the kids find my body. They will never recover, because I'm waiting for them to come in and, you know, greet me and tell me about their day and give me hugs. And instead, they're going to come in and find me slumped over dead. I mean, I prayed fervently, God, please, if I can survive this, let me survive it, because I do not want to be the worst thing that happened to my kids, for them to come in and find me like this. And as I'm praying, I'm so deep into my sadness that I don't even realize what's going on around me. And eventually I finally look up and I realize I'm just in complete darkness. And I thought, okay. And I realize I'm not in pain, and I'm just kind of looking around. And my first instinct, and if you look at my book, there's a hand stuck out in the darkness. And that was my very first instinct, was to put my hand out in front of my face to see if I could see it, because I was trying to determine if it was dark there or if there was nothing there. So I could not see my hand. So the next instinct was, well, let me clap my hands. And so I started trying to clap. And that's when I realized I didn't even have hands. And that's when the realization hit me. I'm dead. I've really passed away. And I just started waiting. I thought, okay, what's next? I'm going to be going to judgment. So I was very deeply religious before this. Me and John were a ministry couple, and we traveled all over the state of Oklahoma preaching the gospel. And so I'm thinking, you know, it's either going to be heaven or hell any minute now. And so I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, is there going to be a tunnel? You know, I'm waiting for my friends and family to greet me. I'm waiting for Jesus to show up. I'm waiting for anything. And the longer I wait, the longer that I start realizing, you know, this is bad. No one's coming for me. And so then it starts turning to real fear. And I'm praying still over on the other side. I'm praying for my husband and kids. I'm worried that they've come in and found me now. I'm praying that I'll be found righteous. You know, I'm praying that Jesus will be my righteousness so I can make it into heaven. And I'm, you know, it starts turning into more of begging, you know, God, why aren't you showing up? Am I here forever? And why am I not enough? And I mean, my spirit was so grieved. And I was so distraught, and it seemed like I was there forever. I mean, it was so timeless. And I'll tell you, one aspect of this was I almost felt like I was put into this invisible box where I was kept separate from everything around me. And I could feel God. I could feel creation. I could feel everything around me. I could feel, it was almost like everything was almost at that spark of coming into being, and it was just teeming with life, but I was separate from it. And so that's what was so soul crushing for me, was that I was not allowed to be part of everything. And so I got to a point where I was reflecting just kind of on my life and why am I not good enough? And finally it came to me, you've got to learn to love yourself. And when I realized that, that's when I felt a male presence come up behind me over my left shoulder. And I could not see him. And I talk about in the book, I couldn't even tell if he was an angel. He didn't seem like human. He didn't seem like Jesus. He didn't seem like anything that I could identify, but I could identify that he was male. And he came up behind me and he said, "You're not going to be here forever." And as soon as he did that, it was instant relief. I knew, okay, someone's here with me. And he said, "I'm not going to be here forever." And so that was instant comfort. And once he did that, then we started sailing off to the left.
Sailing off?
I'm sorry, you had a deal that popped up. Okay, so as he came up to me, as soon as he told me that, you know, you're not going to be here forever, we started sailing off to the left. And as we were, I could tell off in the distance there was this purple glow. And as we continued getting closer and closer to it, I could see intersecting lines of that were like pink, and where they joined up, they were bright yellow, and some of them were just brilliant. And the closer we got, the more I could just feel love radiating off of this. And he instantly told me, "That's the fabric of humanity." And it seemed like so important. It hung with the most importance of everything there. And it just gave off that love. And I wanted to go towards it, and he said, "No, it's not for you."
We have to break now, Mindy, and we'll get
okay.
to continue your near-death experience with Mindy, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.